News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Good to have you along the Ascension Technologies text line, and you may have a question for our guest. 251-343-0106. Feel free to get those questions, if you like, about annexation coming in, because Dr. Martin Scott Catino is president of the Faith Family Freedom Coalition of Metro Mobile, and welcome to our studios, Dr. Catino.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, glad to have you here.
So, Scott, can I call you Scott?
Oh,
is that
please
fine?
Do.
So we've had, of course, we've been talking annexation for much longer than this most recent attempt, way back before the first attempt a few years ago. And we've had plenty of pro-annexation voices on air. But as I've watched the text line over time, there are a lot of people who are either on the fence. Of course, there are a lot of pro-annexation voices on our air and on our text line, but a lot of people who are on the fence or people who are anti-annexation. And I wanted to get kind of a different voice on here, and I know that you are one of those voices. There's been some, I guess, billboards popping up around here. We've seen some of the signs, yard signs also, some anti-annexation signs. I guess kind of explain, for starters, are you against this annexation vote? Four different areas, 26,000 people possibly annexed into the city, and if you are, why so?
Right. Right, it's a big decision. This is like a marriage. You're not going to be able to instantly or quickly walk out of it. It is a huge decision. Mm-hmm. And what's at stake are your civil liberties, your investments, really your families and your children and their well-being. So I am very much against annexation. And I think it's very clear for anyone who looks at the facts and moves past the type of rhetoric and information we're seeing from the city government here, that these policies not only have ruined cities, but are very much ruining the city of Mobile, and they're going to be now extended to the western areas. Let me first say that most people are not aware that Mayor Sandy Stimson has embraced this destructive DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, economic and political program. This is the very same program. When people open their eyes, they see what it did to Chicago, New York, and California, how it ruined these economies. And it's doing the same thing to the city here. You know, we see a population in decline. We see an economy in decline, despite their rhetoric. Out of 315 cities estimating and evaluating market growth, Mobile is in the middle. We see horrible crime occurring here in the city, and they're covering this. And the mayor has embraced this DEI system, and it is just wreaking havoc on civil liberties, the integrity of each department.
Could you give us an
government.
Example?
Yeah, I can. Here was an eye catcher. So, you know, my background, again, I don't use these terms lightly. I've spent my life assessing security in cities around the world, not just Iraq and Afghanistan in many places, but most recently I served in the Emirates working with the Emirati Intelligence and Police. But, you know, one day I'm waking up here in February of 2022 and I'm looking at Black History Month. I think, oh, this is great. What an opportunity to extol the heroes in African-American history. And I see in 2022 that they have a tribute to Fred Hampton, a communist Black Panther leader who advocated the mass killing of Americans. Fred Hampton stated, "Kill a few and get a little satisfaction. Kill some more and you get more satisfaction. Kill them all and you get complete satisfaction." So here, the Bureau of Parks in 2022 is having a film that's lionizing and praising this man. So I looked at this and I said, what in the world is going on here? So I started to check deeper, and I see this is not an isolated case. You look at the city departments, and you look at the mayor's policy. He is promoting not good old-fashioned Americanism, equality, and merit. He is promoting a race-based preferential system. It's Marxism, and he's not openly telling people about this.
Where do we see evidence of this?
Here's the evidence of it. He made a statement last year on May 6th. It was covered by NBC News. He had it on his websites where he openly declared that he's going to create a comprehensive diversity, equity, and inclusion plan across all city departments, end quote. And he says he's doing this because Southerners, that's nice people like you that I'm looking at, are racist. And you have structures and system that have exclusionary practices. So he's calling you all racist and saying that we got to offset this now with a racial preference system. The same system that is destroying America and many cities. And now this is going to be extended to the West? Very, very problematic, very troubling.
So Scott, you know, and we've seen it before, and we're kind of dealing with it right now. One of our local state senators, Chris Elliott, as there was the Department of Archives and History, State Department, and for Pride Month, they had that department basically held a symposium up in Huntsville or Montgomery, and they were talking about, you know, the history of gay rights in Alabama, and a lot of people within the state government, a lot of elected officials took issue with that. But it, in that instance, it's not like that was Governor Ivey saying, listen, this is what we need to do. It's kind of how I've felt about things that go on in some of these city departments, whether it's for Black History Month or Pride Month. Maybe you'll see one department kind of go off on their own, but I'm not sure that many Mobilians feel they've been overtaken by DEI or ESG kind of propaganda by the city. I've kind of, it seems to me like it's always been a little more
ceremonial.
Yeah, but you're saying you think that this has a lot more to do with the structure of the city than is being let on. Is that kind of what you're saying? Yeah, you're, with the way that they right. want this city to run?
Yeah, you're talking about the man that used to assess this for high level commands of government, both ours and others. And it's not just verbiage. What the mayor has done, he says here that he's resourcing this, creating organizations to promote it, and he's networking it with grassroots groups. And he said he's targeting small businesses, housing, job acquisitions. And that's why you will see this DEI language in every one of our major departments. So yeah, you're right. That's dangerous. I found that in the security situation. You don't feel it, just like you don't feel cancer. So you let it go, and then you find out, wow, I'm in stage three. Mm. And that's what makes this dangerous, because it's very subtle. It creeps. And by the time that you really can't see it, where it's everywhere invisible, that time it's very difficult to reverse.
So
you're right. You may not be feeling it right away, but it's there and it's moving. And I'm talking to a lot of people who tell me they are feeling it. I'm talking to contractors and hearing they are forced now to go along with this ESG DEI system in order to get government contracts. That's exactly what the mayor said is going to happen. Mm.
There'll be an election in a few years, and
right.
He may not run again. So the powers that be are going to come and go. Therefore, the policies will more than likely change.
I disagree with that.
No, I'm just saying. If the head of the city goes away, retires, decides not to run, or whatever, as we go along, you say that these policies are now going to be kind of your fear is that these policies are now going to be kind of ironed into the city, where they're not going to go away, and that now the part of West Mobile, they will be under that same governance.
They're already in the system, because it's not just the mayor saying this. You have heads of department now saying this. And keep in mind what Mayor Simpson did last year in February. He took not homosexuals as leaders for liaisons. He picked the most radical homosexual organization, the Human Rights Campaign. They are openly promoting the grooming of children. They're for the legalization of sex workers. They are backing and promoting depenalization of pedophiles. And they are horrifically violent. They are a violent organization, and they're clever about it. I used to see groups like Hezbollah do this. They compartmentalize it by pushing it to other people. They promote Black Lives Matter and street violence. So the mayor takes these individuals and puts them in the center of city government. These are the same people that are shutting down parental rights, that are persecuting the church. They publish manuals on how to get inside, subvert Christians, and turn them into these LGBTQ radical affirming organizations. So this is something that's sweeping across the social, political, economic order of the city. It's not a policy that can be flipped.
Got it.
So are you referring there to the two LGBTQ liaisons that were hired on?
Yeah, the radical human rights. They're not just, this is not an issue of homosexuals. Mayor Stimson could have said, hey, I know three very prominent homosexuals that I want to get their opinion, and I'm going to give them a position as an advisor. So that's one thing. And it's another thing to pick the most radical organization, the Human Rights Campaign, that has an agenda to destroy our rights right across the board and empower them. That's the problem that we're facing.
So you feel that that they have a lot more leverage in the city government than is kind of being led on? Is that what you're saying? That they have more of a sway in the direction of the city and where Mobile's headed?
Yes. And the thing is, if the person listening to this is just gullible and you have an unquestioning type of personality, that's going to be a problem for a lot of people. You start to look in the facts and look what these people stand for, and you start to see the problems. Yes, they have a lot of authority, and it's backed up by economic power. They have a lot of economic power. The president of the Human Rights Campaign used to fly on Air Force One with Barack Obama. They have 2 million members, a lot of money. And as a former intelligence officer, intelligence advisor, they are organized extraordinarily to work at the grassroots and political level and to unseat leaders. So these are powerful people.
So let's bring this back to next week's vote, the annexation vote. Four areas, possibly 26,000 annexed into West Mobile. We've talked about what have been called the positives of annexing into Mobile. A major one for the city is getting over that population 200,000 mark, which would move Mobile from being technically a small city to a medium-sized city, and then the federal money that may come, federal grants that may come because of that.
Eligible for those, yeah.
But it seems like your main push against the annexation all has to do with maybe the social direction that you feel that the Mobile city government has taken. Do you have any other issues with the annexation itself, like
yes.
city services that
yeah.
we provided or...
Yes, the social component is inseparable from the economic. These are the same economic policies. This race-based priority system is the same type of policy that has ruined cities around the United States. And the fact that our city has to depend on federal government money as a major part of its growth, mm-hmm. that's problematic. Is that happening in Florida with those cities? Are they saying unless we get federal money, we're going to be having major economic problems? That itself is a sign of a problem. The fact that people are leaving the city, the fact of the economic stagnation, the fact that they have to rely on big businesses coming in and federal government money rather than a thriving, competitive small business sector and a growing job market, that's a problem. So it's
Yeah, because you're beholden to the federal government and their ways. I get that, but it's every city also takes these opportunities to get federal funding. That's not anything out of the norm, and for the city to give itself a chance at some of that money, I think that's where they're coming from. Plus, I guess this seems to pale in comparison to your concerns, but everyday living, you've got the trash pickup, the debris pickup, you've got the police protection, there'll be a voice in the city government. $4 million will go into that district annually. That's what I'm reading from the city of Mobile. Do you dispute any of that?
Yeah, I dispute it entirely. First of all, our criminal justice system is broken, and they're covering over that. And again, I don't use these terms lightly. I've assessed criminal security situations around the world. Look at the first issue that they're treating so lightly. How's this working out on actually convicting and incarcerating criminals? That is the first sign and area to look at to assess a criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor last year complained the problems we have with convicting, prosecuting criminals and the issue of incarceration. That's his problem. He's supposed to be fixing that. That is a sign of a broken criminal justice system. And that's going to be extended as a viable service when they're already strapped on manpower, when the police are already being demoralized, told that they're racist, so they need to have implicit bias training. No, there's a major problem with the criminal justice system. It cannot effectively secure those western areas. And that's just the nutshell argument. There are major problems there.
Dr. Catino, Scott, what's been your response? Have you talked to many people who are with you that are anti-annexation, maybe some folks who will be voting possibly next week on whether to annex in or not? As you've had discussions with people in our area, are you getting a lot of people who are on board with you and are seeing the same things?
It's difficult to assess. I hear a lot of people saying that. A few weeks back, I had a chance to debate our city councilman, Ben Reynolds, and he was a complete gentleman, and what an extraordinary opportunity it was to have an exchange of ideas.
Where was that? Where did that happen?
It was about 2 weeks ago at the West Regional Library.
Okay.
And it's precisely those types of environments that are so rare. I often, you know, ask people to debate me. I've asked Ms. Natalie Fox, the liaison, to debate me on these issues of the radical HRC. She continues to hide her agenda and run from me, unfortunately. But I think those kind of opportunities are what are needed. The people do stand up and they have questions. They're concerned about things like, hey, I can't even have chickens in my backyard now, or I can't fire my weapon. It's issues of personal liberties also, in addition to these other major issues we're talking about.
Dr. Catino, thank you so much for coming on with us today. Folks, maybe they want to get in touch with you or find out more about the Faith Family Freedom Coalition here in Mobile. How can they do that?
Through our Facebook group, and we're also on Substack. We're reaching out to me directly by email.
All right, and you live within the city limits right
sure
now.
Do.
Yeah, very good. Scott, nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you all. Thank you.
It is 8:22 with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is Dan. It is Dalton. It is 8:27 on FM Talk 106.5. Went a little long with
Scott there.
The good doctor, but he's fired up. It's Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and the Ascension Technologies text line is 251-343-0106.
Yes, also the phone lines are lit up. We've got a candidate for District 6, a campaign manager. We'll talk to them in the next segment. Also, Freddie Wheeler calling in. So a lot of people with a response to what Dr. Catino had to say there. I want to get to some of these texts here first on the text line. Gene, welcome back, Gene. Says your radio station should have better clearance for idiots you interview that are crazier than you are. Gene, I know you like listening to opposing voices. I mean, why else would you listen to this station? But I promised I would get an anti-annexation voice on the air, and that's what we did. I mean, Dr. Catino is the most outspoken of anyone who's anti-annexation at this point. He's the only one that's come on, and that's what we try to do here, provide both, sometimes more sides of the conversation, and you got to be able to handle it. You got to listen to other people's opinions and make your own decisions. I mean, Gene, are you worried that other people, I don't know, listen to other opinions is all I'm saying. You don't have to take it. Marty says, where in the heck did you guys get this guy? He's been in the news. He's been talking about this anti-annexation move. Damn Yankee says, oh my, what a reality check bomb drop. Good job again getting this info out to the general population. So let me tell you, so my feelings here, and I know that Dr. Catino's main issue here is the social direction that the city is taking. He mentioned some of the DEI stuff. He mentioned the LGBTQ liaisons. I think this is a lot like where we talk about how much we all as conservatives hate earmarks in the federal budget, but then we have Senator Richard Shelby bring more federal money into Alabama than any other senator on the Appropriations Committee, and we cheer that, right?
Yeah.
There's a way that the game is played, and that's kind of the way I've felt about this for years, is that if the city doesn't, unfortunately, jump on with some of these social justice kind of things, that the city will lose out on a lot of possible funding. But that creates an issue, right, with how many of us feel as conservatives and how beholden we are to the federal government. But
see the same thing at the state level.
Yes, and I don't agree that they control the direction of the city as much as maybe Dr. Catino thinks, but that's his opinion, and I'm not scared to hear other people's opinion. We'll get into this a lot more coming up after the break. 835 FM Talk 106.5 coming to the phones here in a minute, 251-343-0106. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great, and good day to get out to McConnell Automotive. I know we talk about the vehicles you offer, and you also have a really nice body shop and service center. So if somebody needs, I don't know, oil change or some other work done, they can bring it by McConnell Automotive.
That's right. Like we said, one-stop shop. And then if you take that car to the body shop, see Thomas and Rachel and all the girls and the guys back there. They'll take care of all your insurance needs, and there's no way. I mean, like I said the other day, no way. And if that unfortunate totaled gets in your mind, we have a great selection of vehicles out front. You can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't forget, we got those good employee pricing on all those Buicks out there, and that's a great deal. If you're looking, got the low interest rates on the brand-new pickup trucks and got a plenty of GM certifieds out there. So check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and, of course, the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Well, we finally got a dissenting voice, someone who, I guess you would almost say in official capacity, not just somebody that we've had plenty of callers who've said they're either on the fence or not too sure about annexation. This is an argument we really hadn't heard before, but thank you to Dr. Martin Scott Catino for coming in and talking with us.
Yeah, I didn't think any anti-annexation voice would come at it from that angle, that he's just upset with the direction of the city, feels it's headed towards a more liberal, big city Chicago kind of vibe. Someone we've talked to who is certainly not anti-annexation, he is one of the pro-annexation voices, Freddie Wheeler calling in. Hey, Freddie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good, great to talk to you again. 5 years later, and we're still working to take and get this through. I mean, initially when Jerry Carl announced that the CJ could be in danger of being pulled back and we would be without police and fire protection, we had to take and try to work through the city council. Now we're opposed by people outside of West Mobile who are doing this. I just find it's just unbelievable that it's gotten to this point. But our focus has been and continues to be public safety. The West Mobile Annexation Committee has always given the facts relative to public safety for the people in this area. There is a large number that have the potential to lose police and fire protection. And that has been our focus from day one in 2019 when we were formed until as we go forward to Tuesday. I mean, it continues to be that.
I know you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch or fly away or whatever that saying is, but
thing chickens are allowed in the city. I mean, they could you can have up to 25 of them if you so desire. You just can't have a rooster.
Yeah, I didn't mean to wander into that conversation, but anyway, what are you feeling out there, Freddie? What do you sense the voters are going to do? And how about as far as turnout? Is this an emotional issue where people will be a strong turnout, and is that good news or bad news for those who are in favor of annexation?
I'm not a pollster, and I couldn't even begin to go down those roads.
Okay.
But the feeling is that the information that is being provided at these community meetings is information that takes and helps educate the voters to what the real issues are, and as opposed to what somebody thinks they are. And the real issues are, they talk about taxation. Well, the taxation is offset by what you save in private funding through your own pocket. So it's more or less off talking about those parts of it. Is the city of Mobile getting something out of it? Yes. I dare say there is. The city of Sims, the city of Saraland, city of Satsuma, or any other city, gets something out of annexation, and that is resources to take and fund. Do we get something out of it? Yes, West Mobilians get guaranteed police, guaranteed fire, it's a return of CDMS, all three of which are world class. And then the other part of it is we get garbage and trash pickup to go with that. Along with zoning and planning, which was removed coincidentally 5 years ago when all this started. I mean, somebody could essentially take and set up a garbage dump in next door to your subdivision in the county, and you wouldn't be able to do anything about it.
Hey, Freddie, appreciate you calling back in. Maybe we'll talk again before the vote on Tuesday. We got a lot of texts and calls to get to here. I know if folks want to get in touch with you, maybe find out more of more about the West Mobile Annexation Committee, how can they get in touch?
www.annexwestmobile.org.
All right. Thank you,
Freddie.
Thanks, Freddie. That's Freddie Wheeler. We've talked to him quite a bit over the course of this annexation thing. Somebody who we have not yet talked to, I believe Missy, is that the name, on the campaign of a District 6 City Council candidate, Lynn Hoach, one of the four candidates. That vote will be coming up not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after. So you have annexation vote, and then the following week, the District 6 Council race. Missy, am I getting your name correct? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, you are. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, tell us about your candidate.
Her name is Lynn Hoach. She is a devout conservative Christian that's running for city council. She is from Vietnam. She came over on a boat from a communist country and settled here in Ballabatry. Now she's in District 6, and she sees our country going down a very dark path. And God called her to run, so she's running. She's on the line with me.
Okay. Right. So, candidate, thank you. Lynn Hoach, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So, you called in after our conversation first half of this hour about the annexation vote that's coming up, and I know you have a big race the following Tuesday, but what are your thoughts on the city of Mobile possibly annexing in 26,000 more residents?
Well, my thought is that I disagree of the annexation, because we are not equipped as a district itself to take care of another 26,000 people. As I am canvassing the city, District 6, I mean, all the infrastructure need work on, and we're not even working on it. So how are we going to try to annex 26,000 people in that we can't even take care of the resident here? And this district is more of a residential, so the police department and the fire department can't even accommodate an added population. And I know it's up to the people to decide to add them in, but we don't want radical LGBTQ agenda in West Mobile. Well, so what's the use of having money and the cost of our liberty, freedom, and compromise? When the federal government give you something, they want something back in return. I came from a socialist Vietnam country, and this is where our country is heading. When the radical agenda come in, there's no safety. So, like Dr. Catino say, in February of 2022, Mayor Stimson, he picked two radical LGBTQ to run this community? Really?
Lynn, I'm sorry. So you've got your election coming up 2 weeks from now.
That's how you feel about annexation.
Yes. How are you feeling about your chances in the District 6 council election?
You know what? I'm not backed by any elite politician. I'm not entitled, but I'm entitled as a citizen of the United States, because you have to take your citizenship to become a United States citizen,
right?
Which a lot of us don't have to, because if you're born here, you get that free merit to be a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not fixing on what is going on. I'm fixing on the people. I'm working for the people. That's my heart right there.
All right.
But,
we appreciate it. Appreciate getting to know you a little better. And thank you for calling in. And let us know, you know, how things go in two Tuesdays from now. We appreciate it.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Lots of voices on the air this morning. I do want to get to some texts, because we're going to continue with the planned program, talk with Jeff Poor here in the next segment. But we have a million texts to get to. This texter says, is this guy wearing a tinfoil hat? Referring to our interview earlier with Dr. Catino. Another texter says, This is eye-opening. David says, I wouldn't debate you either, and calls Dr. Catino a conspiracy nut job. Stephanie, ask him where he lives. So he lives here within the Mobile City.
He's within the city. Yeah,
he's not in a part that will be annexed. Sounds like he and Lynn Hoch there, both citizens within the city limits who feel that money would be better spent here within the city right now.
Already than what done. Could by be the way, Dr. Catino is with Liberty University out of Virginia, but he works remotely in Mobile. I forget what work he does for them, but in any event,
yeah.
if you're wondering about that, he is affiliated with Liberty University.
Let's see. Your friendly neighborhood banker. I'm all about conservative values, but tin hat people like him is exactly what drives people to the left. Buck Allen says liberals suck.
That's getting to it.
Dell says the Westmobile Annexation Committee's goal is fire, police, and EMS for 25,000 people of Westmobile, public safety for all. Let's see here. Dirt Digger. Sorry, texts are taking just a second to load here. Dirt Digger says, I knew the mayor was weak when he ran out on comic cowboys. Joshua says, one of the main reasons I listen to your station is you give both sides of the story. A guy or gal must be a blind screaming liberal. Brian says, if this guy lives in one of the annexation areas, it means he lives less than a mile from the city that he despises. If everything is so terrible, why in the heck is he still hanging around? Go live in a cave somewhere. Comparing Mobile to Chicago and San Francisco is ludicrous and silly. I dislike DEI as much as anyone, but if this guy can't see the difference in Mobile, since the mayor has been in office, he's blind. Chris in Orange Beach says, why don't you take a poll on the annexation vote through text messages? We could do that. We'll have to find who's going to, you know, tally them all up. Maybe I'll take the time to do that. That's what we'll do. We'll put the poll on our station website. So after the show, you can go to fmtalk1065.com. We'll put an official annexation poll up. But the problem with the polling is the only people that will be voting on Tuesday are people in those four districts that could possibly be annexed.
Yep. So
it won't be an apples-to-apples poll there necessarily. We'll get to a couple more of these texts. Also, Jeff Poor with the Jeff Poor Show on the way. He'll join us next.
It is 8:48. Dan Brennan, Dalton Ulrich, and the show is Mobile Mornings. And we thank you for listening again today. Well, what a morning. Mobile Mornings at 8:52 on FM Talk 106.5 with two of your previous all-time favorites, Dan and Dalton. I don't know where we rank now. Jeff Poor, the Jeff Poor Show, is going to join us here.
Yeah, and he's certainly at the top of everyone's list as far as favorites. Jeff Poor, and Jeff, thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So who do you have lined up on the Jeff Poor Show? What kind of guests are we looking forward to today?
I am the lead pastor for Pathway Church. We're going to talk about the city of Mobile. I've heard a lot of your discussion this morning. Holy cow, guys.
Yeah.
This is a church out West Mobile Sims and Airport Boulevard Way. And we're going to talk a little bit about the culture and get into it there. So that's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We got Joey Clark, as we do every Wednesday. And then from the Right Side Radio up in North Alabama, Phil Williams, we're going to talk about the kind of the oddities and ins and outs of this redistricting battle. And also talk about Senate rules, but that's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour.
What do you make of our conversations this morning, Jeff, as you were listening in?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a point here. I mean, maybe some of these guys are a little too into the hyperbole. But, I mean, the city of Mobile is culturally different than West Mobile. We can agree on that. There are, and this is how these communities come to be. I mean, there's just differences, right? There's differences between Daphne and Satsuma, and that's how these communities of interest are sort of formed. And there's going to be hurdles when you try to introduce, I think, a new community into Mobile, which has a far different sort of character than West Mobile.
Yeah, and Dr. Catino, who we talked with earlier, obviously his main issue isn't so much with, I guess, the annexation by itself, but kind of the social direction that the city itself is headed in. And I brought up, as he brought up the LGBTQ liaisons and some of the DEI requirements in the city, I brought up something that's happening right now, and that's State Senator Chris Elliott and his push to take away some of the funding from the Department of Archives and National History for the Pride Month, discussion they had. And it's, I don't get the feeling that that that's who's running the city, that that LGBTQ liaisons are holding the levers of power here. But I guess his argument is that kind of that slippery slope argument. Well, if Mobile wants to be a big city, look at these other big cities and how they've been overtaken by that agenda.
I think that's legitimate. Here's what I'll say about that. I mean, I think this is what Mayor Stimson was trying to do. It's good intentions all around. But trying to raise that human rights campaign score, it's like your social inclusivity score.
Yeah.
So Birmingham had 100. And what did but Birmingham got something out of it? They got that Shipt headquarters right there in downtown Birmingham. This online grocery delivery service. They put their headquarters not in San Jose, California, but in Birmingham, Alabama, because I think they looked at what the human rights campaign, how they graded Birmingham. So Mayor Stimson and probably some others said, "Hey, why don't we try to improve upon this?" However, you're sacrificing the character of the city. You're doing some things culturally that upset a lot of people when you do that. It's a game of give and take, and the mayor made a choice, I think, trying to improve this for the betterment of the city. But at the same time, you're kind of departing with a lot of the culture. I mean, this is still Alabama.
Also, Dr. Catino was categorizing the human rights
campaign
as very, very radical. So that, you know, tying into that, that's an alarming word to use.
Yeah,
I think it's legit. I think the human rights campaign is a far left radical organization.
Right.
And you hear human rights campaign and you think suffering women in Saudi Arabia or whatever, but no, they've really taken charge on the LGBTQ issue. They have a guy running around the state crying foul at every chance he has an opportunity, but they're very, very invested into change into culture of Mobile, mm-hmm. and that is going to come with some hiccups.
Yeah, you know, we're like in the top of the ninth inning right now for this annexation vote. I guess we'll hit the bottom of the ninth inning maybe Sunday or Monday, but this is not the direction I kind of thought that it would take. This seems like more of a discussion for upcoming city elections, right? Like, if you don't like the direction the city's going, well, there
get
is
somebody
a,
else in there.
There is a mayoral election. There are council votes. When it comes down to whether this part of the a county wants to annex into the city or not, I think a lot more people are looking at taxes and whether it will actually be beneficial for them to join the city or not. And that's not kind of where the conversation's gone this morning. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. And with all of this discussion and as heated as it is, what kind of turnout do you think this could even get, Jeff? I mean, we're talking about 25,000 people. I don't know how many of them are even eligible to vote. I don't know how many even know the vote's coming up next week.
Well, it sounds to me like the momentum's on the anti-annexer side right now. I thought it was a shoe-in, a slam dunk. But, you know, some folks around Government Plaza, they're real, real nervous all of a sudden about this vote. That these guys, they got their billboards, they're making some noise, and in a low-turnout election, all you need is just a modicum of momentum. And I'm at 50-50 now, I think.
All based on this latest movement from people like the gentleman we had on this morning, correct?
Yeah, all based on that, because look, guys, you know, like you said, how many people are even aware of this, but you give people a reason to come out and vote against something especially, that's what gets people out.
Yep.
Jeff, looking forward to your show today. It'll be on the way in minutes. Also encourage people to go to 1819news.com. Erica with a great story. John Cooper's harassment trial will come the same week that Aldott's hosting an annual conference. That's our latest story, so good stuff there. That does it for Mobile Mornings. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., right here on FM Talk 106.5.
8:59, Jeff Poore next. Dan and Dalton, see you later.